The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Now, an out and about edition of the Thursday interview today, because I was in Zambrero's restaurant in Rathmines here in Dublin to meet my next two guests. Zambrero is on a mission to help end world hunger through their Plate for Plate initiative, and they're calling on the community to join in a special event this Saturday, October the 5th at St. Mary's College in Rathmines, where volunteers will help pack up to 120,000 meals for those in need. Two people have been involved in this campaign for some time: Charlene Maudsley, Olympic sprinter, and Terry Kennedy from Ireland's Olympic Rugby Sevens team. I started by asking Charlene how she got involved with Zambrero's food initiative.
Yeah, I think the first year I was involved was 3 years ago, and I obviously just loved the initiative, the Plate for Plate program, where you're giving back. For every bowl or burrito that's purchased here, they give back to people in need in different countries. So I think it's really nice, and it's really nice incentive. The meal packing day is always so much fun as well. It's just great vibes, and you know, there's a good atmosphere around, so I love it.
So Terry, you're going to be kind of centrally, just before we came on air actually here, I heard you were getting kind of tapped up to bring volunteers along as well. So it's not just enough to bring yourself.
I know. It's actually, it's in my old school, St. Mary's, so I think being based around here, I've been roped in to bring a few down. It'll be good. It'll be a great initiative. I think tomorrow there's all the school pupils doing it, and then Saturday we've all the volunteers as well, so it's great.
I mean, this kind of part of the game, if we'll call it that, do you know what I mean, where there's kind of demands in your time outside, but is it something that you enjoy doing?
Yeah, it's great. I mean, in terms of doing something like this, where it's obviously a really positive initiative, it's brilliant. I think Zambrero, this is my first time involved with it, but I've been following them for a while with Dara. I actually played with Dara back in the day when I came out of school. So.
What was he like?
He was all right. He was. it's great to get involved for the first time now.
Charlene, you're very much kind of in off-season territory now, are you? When did that start?
Yeah, that started like 3.5 weeks ago at this stage. If you can hear my voice, it's not doing very well. But I've had a great off-season so far, and it's nice to come back, like, to give back today, like, and on Saturday. It's just really nice. Like, I can't wait for it. Like, I look forward to it every single year, so Dara wouldn't want to sack me in the next few years.
So are you one of these people who gets kind of itchy feet early enough into kind of that down period, you want to get going again, or are you good at embracing it?
No, I'm definitely good to embrace it. Okay. I think I train for so long throughout the year, like it's 11 months of intense work, so to take the full month off and just take a break, go to the beach, it's nice.
So when do you get back training?
I think in the next 2 weeks I'll be back into the winter slog. So yeah, I just have to meet with my coaches now and suss out the plan for the next few weeks. So it's all to look forward to.
And would you have already decided by now what you'll be aiming for kind of early in the season next year? Like, are you going to run indoors?
So far, I think I will. Initially, I had said no after I got disqualified this year. But then I was like, it's a long way till September to wait for the World Championship. So I probably will, yeah.
So how have the last few weeks been kind of the... Is there an Olympic come down?
I definitely felt it, yeah. Okay. I think afterwards I still had a race to do, and my coaches were like, you have to do this race, you have to just get on with it. So I had that to look forward to at least, but it was hard going to the track every single day. But then on my off season I could 100% appreciate it, so that made me enjoy it and let the hair down even more.
And I guess the value maybe in having the race was that it gave something to focus on, was it?
Yeah, I think so. It was. But going to the track was so humbling. Like, you just come back from an Olympic Games, the pinnacle of our sport, and then you have to get out and run around lactic sessions again. And it wasn't nice. But I was glad because the last race of my season went really well. And, you know, I beat some really good girls and I finished on a high. So that was amazing.
So, Terry, where are you in terms of training and competition at this time of year?
Yeah, so we obviously had a bit of time off after the Olympics. I was also working alongside playing for the last few years, so had a couple of holidays and then was back into work, and now the lads were back training the last couple of weeks, but I'm actually taking a bit of time to just concentrate on work for the next few months and a couple of things I want to do there around exams and stuff like that. And I think it was a kind of a long season with the Olympics at the end, so it's nice to have a bit of time now to concentrate on something different.
And is it very much kind of just a pause on that, or you know, might work kind of take over now as a bigger part of the life?
Yeah, I mean, it's something I'll take kind of each month as it comes. So next few months anyway, to see how it goes with work, and then kind of reassessing probably around Christmas time.
And what about that kind of post-Olympic feeling from your point of view?
Yeah.
It obviously didn't go as well maybe as you had hoped. So talk me through that experience.
Yeah, I mean, it was a tough one because obviously we went over there with really high aspirations and just fell short. So disappointing, but the kind of the longer it went on after, the more I look back with positive experience and, you know, having so many family and friends to get to go over, and the joy it brought them and the camaraderie they had. So that's kind of the overriding emotion now that I look back. But that sport, our season, every match and tournament were so tight, and there was any one of kind of 9 or 10 teams could have won it. So yeah, unfortunately it didn't go our way for that tournament, but a great experience overall.
Well, where does the Olympics, from a rugby sevens point of view, where does the Olympics rank? Because it's quite obvious, say, with a sport like Charlene's with athletics, you know, that it's kind of way out there on their own. You take then something at the other end of the spectrum like golf, where they're still not really sure maybe what they make of it entirely, despite what some of the players say. I said that, you know, they're still unsure. I'd say a few might take a green jacket still as a preference. Well, in terms of rugby sevens, where does it rank?
Yeah, it's a good question, and I think it definitely is the pinnacle because of how cool the Olympics is, and it definitely would be. You know, gold medal at the Olympics is better than gold medal at any other tournament. But it's definitely different because it's not like athletics, where it has that whole history over the years of being the pinnacle. And it's really, that was the third Olympics, but it was probably the first proper one for rugby sevens, with the first in Brazil, where rugby isn't really a big sport, second behind closed doors. And then that one was brilliant, obviously, with it being in Paris and France and the support rugby gets there.
What was the atmosphere like?
Oh, it was incredible. Yeah, yeah, it was a full house, Stade de France. So probably hard to beat that ever.
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it? And Charlene, you probably got a sense of this as well, is that, and you know, having spoken to, you know, different people over the last few weeks, I spoke to Rashida and Mona and a few others, and what they've all said is the time difference, the time zone thing makes such a big difference, you know, in terms of exposure, that the amount of athletics fans will be getting up to watch athletics in the middle of the night. So like, I'll get up in the middle of the night and I'll watch athletics. But will I get up in the middle of the night and watch rowing? I probably won't. No offence to any of the rowers if they're listening, because I met the lads as well, so they won't like the sound of that. But if it's on the day, everybody, it's a little thing that I don't think we appreciate until it happens. And you're like, everyone is watching. It's incredible.
Yeah, definitely. And I think even like when we had the World Relays in the Bahamas this year, that's where we qualified to go to the Olympics. And I think like that was at like 2 a.m. or something. Like I remember people like were actually getting up to watch it, but nothing like the Olympics. So I think it was amazing. Like people were saying, like when I came home, I was like, I don't know what I'm going to do now that the Olympics are over. But other people were saying, I don't know what I'm going to watch now that the Olympics are over. Like everyone just got on board with it, which is really special. So it was genuinely the closest we're ever going to get to a home games, and I think that's so special, and it was, you know, it will always be close to my heart.
What was that like then in the build-up to it? Were you able to appreciate all of that, or are you the type who's very much kind of focused on the event?
No, I guess for me, after we came back from Europeans, there was quite that hype because we had won the mixed relay and we'd came second with the women, which was amazing. Like that had never happened in Irish athletics before, so obviously people started to buy into it, and an Olympic Games coming up, of course people are going to be like looking. And you know, I don't find that there was a sense of pressure, but we went on camp before the Olympics, so that was just kind of focus and reset. And you know, you turn the notifications off on your phone, like you don't want to get too sucked into it, because I was on day one of the Olympics and also the last day and on in the middle, so I had a fairly busy schedule, so you don't want to get caught up in what, like the outside noise. But honestly, like when I did look after, like say the women's 4x4, like the support that we had was crazy. And even when we came back for the homecoming, I was like, no one's gonna show up, like it's a Monday afternoon, like people are working. And there was like 25,000 people that showed their support, so that was just amazing. We couldn't, like the Irish are just the best.
the atmosphere as well looked great within the team. And it's funny because, you know, you're almost like the opposite end of the spectrum to it, like say the US track team, which is kind of this litany of awful failures at relay. It's just, it's almost comical. Not for them, it certainly is for us watching. And then the Irish team, you know, given that it's an individual sport, there's a real sense of a team with India. Like, is that something you were conscious of fostering, or did it just happen by accident?
No, I think our relay coach Dave McCarthy really put a lot of emphasis in. I think he really believed in the team for like quite a long time, because of course when the team started out, like, we're rivals at the end of the day. Like, we're racing each other every single race that there is, nearly, unless you're outside of Ireland. So of course there's that competitiveness, but I think as the team has bonded throughout the years, we've gotten closer and we've built a genuine friendship, so that definitely makes things like a lot easier. And I think accumulating four people's times together, like, we're so competitive that when we go up to the mix zone, we want to see who's ran the fastest time, because that all drives us on. So no, I definitely think that it's been built over time and it's something special that we have now.
And Terry, like, obviously from a rugby point of view, the 15s game is so huge here. Like, in order to have a greater impact from the sevens point of view, is it just a kind of a case that it'll take a bit of time, a few more kind of Olympic cycles, big performances at World Cups, that type of thing, and it just makes inroads slowly but surely?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, the sevens program on the men's side anyway is so new. It was 2015 and really fully professional probably since 2019, 2020, so still relatively new compared to you know, other countries and other sports. And even this year, we managed to come second in the world throughout the World Series, which obviously showed our consistency and showed what we were capable of. But I think, yeah, in order to keep growing it, it probably needs to be played more in schools in the summer months as kids, because, like, even some of the younger lads that come into our squad that are, you know, 19, 20, they'll come into our squad and they might have only played one or two sevens tournaments before, and then they're coming into the international team. So trying to get them up to speed can be difficult at times. So the more people can play it at a younger age, and then it means, you know, there's that pathway to come in and be ready to play international level.
Yeah, I'm also, it kind of reminds me a little bit of, and I know it was in the context of female participation in sport over the last few years, but that whole thing of, if you can't see it, you can't be it. Yeah. Like, and how often are kids exposed to rugby? How often do they see it on the TV screen? I mean, that's another thing. You would have heard a lot of people, maybe not you were at the games, but here, people who would never have seen it, think, geez, that rugby sevens is a great game.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and it's amazing. And that's the other thing. Like, most of our tournaments, time zone-wise, are all over the world and middle of the night for Irish people a lot of times. So I think it would be great to get a World Series event here at some stage. I think people would buy into it. And I think the amount of people that hadn't watched rugby sevens before, even people that aren't naturally into rugby that much, you know, really like it because it's shorter format, especially in this day and age, hard to keep people's attention for 80 minutes. So 14 is a little bit quicker and easier. So I think it can definitely grow the game outside traditional channels as well.
And Charlene, in terms of then, say, your own growth within the sport, like, when you've got this month off, do you switch off? Do you not think about it? Or is this where you kind of assess the year and think, right, this has worked, this kind of helped me progress this year, this is where maybe there's a vulnerability, or this is where there's something that I can work on? Is that something that you wait to talk about with your coach, or how does that all work from your point of view?
Yeah, it's definitely waiting to speak about it with, like, my support team, because I have a great support team who know me inside out and they will always steer me in the right direction. But, like, you don't purposely think about, like, what you've done this last year and what you want to do, but of course you're competitive and you're, like, an elite athlete. Like, our brains don't switch off. Like, it's just go. Well, mine is, at least. I'm hoping that's everyone else's. So yeah, I look back on, you know, like, I see comments and, you know, people saying, why didn't she do this in the race? And sometimes you do doubt, like, what if I did this differently? But
what did people say you could have done in the race?
I did see something in the final of the 4x4 where someone said, if I stayed on the inside line and didn't let Anne Branning pass me out, would I have won the medal?
Okay.
So that played in my head a little bit, and I was thinking, but at the end of the day, I ran my fastest ever time in that race, so I couldn't be disappointed, like, forever, you know what I mean? But yeah, it's funny, you do think back, like, what if I did this differently? It was like when I got disqualified in Glasgow, what if I wait to make my move a little bit until the home straight? But you always have these doubts, but it's so short, you don't have time to actually think of these in that moment. You just have to go with what's going on. So yeah, no, I'll definitely look back and, like, evaluate the year with my coach and my support team. That will be
yeah, but
important.
It's also, you know, it's like that. Is your man Bob Rotella, is that the golf guy that they all love? Golf is not a game of perfect, where they, you know, they have to learn to accept that even in the perfect, what, the so-called perfect round, there's mistakes.
Yeah.
It's like that. Like, you won that medal, or you hadn't been disqualified in Glasgow and it went your way. there's still going to be something that you're going to look back on and go, I didn't actually do that correctly. I've got to work on it.
Yeah, I think that's in every athlete's mindset. We beat ourselves up because not every day is going to go good. And we look like, it would be bad if I came out of that performance being like, that was like it. That's all I have to give to the sport. But of course, I'm hungrier now and, you know, I feel I have more to give. So I think that's really important with the years coming on.
Well, listen, everybody I know got huge enjoyment out of the games, despite the kind of ups and downs across the different sports. And thanks a million for your time, both of you.
No, thanks so much. Thanks.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.